Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, the Lakers, as of tonight, have 10 games left on the schedule. Will they make it into the play-in? That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. We get this thing up as bright and early as we can for you, sometimes on weekends too, depending on what the team is up to. Plenty to cover today, Andy, on the show. You got a game that we're going to do to illustrate just how chaotic this season has been for the Lakers. We'll try to get to a story that we wanted to talk about for a few days now about Malik Monk, Dave McMenamin at ESPN, put together, interesting in a lot of different ways. But Andy, I want to start here. So we're recording this ahead of Wednesday's games, but
against the Sixers. And it's here's a detail that will probably just reinforce that it's been this type of season for the Lakers. Both Embiid and Harden did not play Monday for the Sixers against the Heat. The Sixers end up winning that game anyway, in, I believe, Miami, which just goes to show you that we're setting up right now for no matter whether the Sixers have their two stars or don't have their two stars or have one of the two stars, whichever of the two stars, it just sort of feels like the Lakers aren't going to be catching a break no matter what, because the Sixers are setting themselves up already for looking like a team that even shorthanded can come into the Lakers' house and make this happen.
Well, I mean, a lot of people can come into the Lakers' house this season, it seems. Plus, DeAndre Jordan revenge game. So there's that.
Revenge for what? He asked to be let go, and they said yes.
Revenge because he wanted to play somewhere else, Andy. If he were playing more in L.A., then he wouldn't have had to request to leave. Therefore, revenge game.
I mean,
or you could also argue DeAndre Jordan revenge game in the sense that Lakers fans could yell at him.
But the Lakers gave him a contract to begin with when a lot of people were like, really?
I just feel like it's a revenge game.
It feels, I don't know, like maybe not like revenge game, but more like mild a grievance at best game.
As we sit down to talk today, the Lakers have 10 games remaining in the schedule and a 3-game lead over San Antonio, 3.5 over Portland, which, Andy, with 10 games left, sounds like plenty. A huge cushion, if you will. Here are the teams that the Lakers play over the final 10 games: Philadelphia, New Orleans, Dallas, Utah, New Orleans again, Denver, Phoenix, Golden State, Oklahoma City, and Denver again. Okay, Oklahoma City, they suck. That's a game that you could probably chalk up as a win. So there's one that they should win for sure. The two New Orleans games, the only other team that they play behind them, New Orleans has been a significantly better team than the Lakers over the last month or so. You can't call that an easy win.
Well, not over the last 10, Brian. Both are 4-6.
There you go. I think overall they've been better than the Lakers. They've certainly made up ground. Maybe significantly was overstating it.
Yes, it was
drama.
Yes, it was overstating it.
Look at these hot. You know, this is what they say: hot take podcasters always trying to stir up trouble.
Hot take podcaster.
Right. Everybody else is in front of them. Like, legitimately just better than the Lakers, has been better, playing worse, whatever, you know, Golden State's been, whatever. These are all teams that have been much better than the Lakers all year long. So three teams that are currently under 500 and seven that are not. Do the Lakers get in? Because there are only a couple wins on this schedule.
Yeah. I mean, there's only a couple that you look at and say, All right, I feel good about this on paper. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to get in, though, because San Antonio hasn't really played any better over the last 10
Not
or so
much,
games
no.
than the Lakers have. And the Lakers already have 3 games on them. So let's just say the Lakers go 4-6 during that period. If my math is correct, because San Antonio also has 10 games remaining as of this recording, San Antonio would have to go, I believe, at least 7-3.
At least 7, depending on who has the tiebreaker. Right.
That feels like a – I'm assuming San Antonio has the tiebreaker because I assume every team has the tiebreaker.
It doesn't, right. Like, look, we know the Thunder does.
but that feels like a large, large goal for San Antonio. 7-3. Like, I don't know when the last time San Antonio has gone 7-3 over 10 games, but it probably ain't that recently.
I agree with you. I'm feeling more comfortable. The win in Cleveland was a big one for a lot of reasons. Now, I have not reached the point where I say the Lakers will host the 9-10 game. Obviously, that really just that depends so much on the outcome of the two remaining games against the Pellies. But I am feeling confident enough, mostly like you say, because San Antonio, Portland, not very good.
Dame Lillard now is officially out for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. If you were pinning any hopes on that at all.
I mean, if you want to do something interesting, go look at a Portland Trailblazers box score. And I don't care how committed you are as a fan. You have not heard of 80% of those people. Like they are made up. I mean, God bless them for making the NBA. And some of them, there's a fellow named Brandon Williams, I think, who's just putting up big numbers playing point guard for them. They've got some dudes who are playing well. None of these people are NBA players that you have heard of out there other than like Josh Hart. So that's where they are. What's interesting about this, though, Andy, is coming off this game, one of the things I think that was pretty tangible out of the Cleveland game was just how much better the Lakers seem to be feeling about themselves. And carrying that through over these last 10 games is going to be really tricky because they could play significantly better, continue this trend of, as LeBron pointed out, 11 of 12 good quarters over the last, you know, three games. And still lose 5 or 6 games easily, just based on the schedule.
Yeah, they could. Although, as LeBron pointed out, he's having the time of his life. He said that after the win over Cleveland.
He has never felt this way before.
He also, though, has noted after, I believe it was Cleveland, but he certainly noted this many times, he drinks copious amounts of red wine and tequila every single night. Like, these post-game press conferences with LeBron often feel like a cry for help.
Do you think he even knows the team is under 500?
Like, he may not. This is how good LeBron is. He's playing these games at best hungover, at worst actually drunk, and he still could challenge for the scoring title.
He's going to wake up like and be like, "Wait, what? Play-in game? What are you talking about?
Wait, Kendrick Nunn's been out how long?
Who's the white guy over there? That's Austin. Oh.
Oh, God.
Has he been here all year?
Huh. I thought that was just the Lobos talking. But I do think that if they are legitimately playing better, and, you know, obviously this will be dictated, I think, in part by when Anthony Davis gets back, and I think it's something we'll talk about during this show, you know, how AD looks when he gets back, how many games they have with him before the play-in. But I think if they are legitimately playing better, as long as they are keeping a pace where they know they're going to be at least in the play-in, because I think these guys at this point have likely, I don't want to say given up, but have probably put the idea of hosting of getting the 8 seed and only having to do this once out of their head.
Hell no.
So as long as they are keeping a pace where they can stay in the play-in, but they're actually able to look themselves in the mirror and say, you know what? We're not playing bad. These are good teams we're going up against. Somebody's going to lose. If they lose a bunch of tight games, I don't actually think it's going to chip away at anything in terms of either confidence or enthusiasm. I really don't.
Yeah, and just to clarify your point, to catch the Clippers would both have to completely collapse, and they've lost 3 in a row, at least going into the games.
They're not playing great.
They're not playing great either, but, you know, it's interesting. Like, this is a stretch of games where even if the Lakers were at full strength and playing reasonably well, you would say, oh, you look at that schedule, 6-4 is not bad. You know, two games against Denver, who will be motivated to move up in the standings. Obviously, a motivated Dallas team. Like, this, like, okay, these are teams that are still, you know, have a lot to play for. 6-4 wouldn't be so bad. Next, we're going to get to the quiz here in a second that illustrates just how crazy this season has been. But I want to ask you too, Andy, how many games do you think Anthony Davis is going to need, not necessarily to get in, because I think we both agree that they will get in regardless of whether or not Davis plays. If they get out of the play-in, though, I think has more to do with AD, and then obviously any shot they would have against Phoenix in an opening round would be related to AD. So how many games does he need to be relevant? That's the question we'll ask next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Prize Picks. Okay, Laker fans, you guys have been hearing me talk about Prize Picks for months. If you have not signed up yet, you are missing out big time, because Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You're going to love this app for NBA, but also mixed sport pick'em. So for a limited time, no-brainer offer for our users. Users get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. I would advise betting on LeBron.
Sure.
That is a winner. But you got to use the code NBA. It's an exclusive offer available for Locked On fans only who use the code NBA. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator, offers superstar players as well as bench players that only get a handful of minutes each game. And Prize Picks offers, this is fun, the mixed sport entries. Like, you could do the over on LeBron points combined with the over on Freddie Freeman home runs. Baseball's coming very soon.
New Dodger, what?
Yeah, my God, that lineup is
sick. That lineup is good. That
lineup is insane. So use the award-winning app for both the App Store and Google Play.
I could pitch for that team. Doesn't matter.
Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really easy. Prize Picks, they're safe. They offer fast withdrawals. So again, go to prizepicks.com today. Use the promo code NBA or go to the App Store. Download the app. If you are not playing Prize Picks, you don't know what you're missing.
Okay, so the Lakers, Andy, have not given any indication that they don't think Anthony Davis will be healthy between now and the end of the season. Nobody's putting any timetables on it, whatever, but they haven't said, you know, whereas with other stars around the league, this guy's done. The Lakers haven't said that about AD. But there's a difference between him being physically back and being back and playing well enough to propel the Lakers to, an improbable run somewhere. So my question to you is, how many games do you think he'll need after the layoff? Hasn't played since the 16th of February. It's going to be, into April before he's on the court. How many games do you think he needs to be relevant?
A lot of this, I think, has to do with what his physical conditioning is at. Like, how ready is he? And like,
maybe not 100%, because that's probably not a fair presumption, but normal, like everybody else in the league is banged up and beat up at this time. Nobody's healthy, so he's 80%, 85% right of what he could be.
Because if he's, say, really ready to get back, as opposed to just, okay, I got to get back on the court if I'm going to get back at all. Mm-hmm. And maybe they've even been, and it wouldn't shock me if this is the case, they've been extra cautious with this. Because they're just like, look, we're behind the eight ball regardless. What we want to make sure is that when he comes back, there are no setbacks. He's not, a shell of Anthony Davis, anything like that. If he comes back looking like the dude that, remember when he initially came back from his first injury earlier in the season, and for like, 5-6 games, something like that, Anthony Davis looked like a dominant force.
Yes.
Like he
just, for reference, he played on the 17th of December and then was out, came back on the 25th of January. He scored 8 points that night in 25 minutes against the Nets. And to the streak you're talking about, 31 against Philly the next game. That was the game where he went toe to toe with Joel Embiid, probably the best game he's played all year. 27 against Atlanta on 10 to 20 from the floor. He followed up with 30, 30, and 28. Then it, oddly enough, got kind of passive again in terms of how he was performing. But yeah, it took one game before he at least had that 5-game stretch of just utter dominance.
Yeah. I mean, if he's resembling that version of himself, then I think, 5 games would be enough, because that guy was really good. And I promise you, LeBron's going to know how to use him. I think Russ will even know how to use him. And the rest of the team is going to be so excited to have him back. And just that version of AD for 5 games, like defensively in and of itself, like is going to make life so much easier for everybody else. It's going to bring that much more confidence for everybody else. And yeah, these guys, especially the new guys, have not had a lot of time to really see and get in sync with AD and know everything that he does, all the different ways that he operates. But the flip side is improving upon this defensive baseline ain't going to be that hard.
Oh, I mean, good Lord.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
let's he doesn't have to be Anthony Davis, all caps, to make this defense better.
Well, my point is just, let's just say they're figuring it out as they go to some degree. If he's playing at that level with them figuring it out as they go, I will take my chances, as opposed to, you know what? It's a little rushed. I don't know how I feel about this.
What's totally fascinating about this too, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, and I'm not saying we're there yet or anything like that, but they are having similar conversations on Locked On Clippers, our crosstown buddies doing that show. You know, Paul George is back doing, you know, 4-on-4 with like minimal contact. I think it's been reported, you know, to the point that they are not being ruled out, much like Anthony Davis, for the postseason. You could end up in a situation where all of a sudden the Lakers, for whatever that's worth, roll into the, you know, they're playing with LeBron and Westbrook and AD, you know, playing reasonably well, and like, let's see what this is, with the Clippers all of a sudden getting Paul George back in the lineup, that where he's made a huge difference. And you know, they haven't even ruled out Kawhi. All that seems like a reach.
I mean,
as your college counselor used to talk about, every school you apply to, that's a reach.
Yeah, wasn't wrong. But like, that was also too,
that's a reach.
Yeah, with
Santa Monica Community College. That's a reach.
With Kawhi, Lou has not ruled him out, but the way he's talked about this, sounded like he would be very surprised.
It's really Kawhi more a question back. Of Paul George. Yeah. But just like the idea of all of a sudden, you know, and if you're Phoenix, you're not worried about that per se. Like, you believe rightly that you could throttle either of these teams, no matter who's playing them. But it is an odd reward for a team to blow away the Western Conference this year and walk into a series with a suddenly healthy Paul George and a sprightly Clippers team, or LeBron James and Anthony Davis, even with the Lakers slumping. Like, it's not what you normally get in an 8 seed.
It isn't what you normally get. I mean, the flip side is that's what people thought was going to be happening with Phoenix and the Lakers last season. So, you know, you never know. Yeah, you got to play these things out. But either way, it would be weird if the Lakers, after all the chaos, all the lack of continuity, all the just insanity that has been swirling around them that leads to the game that we're going to play, if they somehow actually manage to make some noise at the expense of a number one seed, that's got to be like, are you bleeping me? You got to be absolutely bleeping me right now.
This is the last three games. This is what, you know, we talked about it a lot on Tuesday's show. This effect, and I think it's something that superstars can do. It's Kobe, you know, would make Lakers fans believe in the possibility of something, just because he's just that damn good. And you know, LeBron has that impact, and now Anthony Davis, if he can come back, he has so it's just, you know, the transcendent nature of sports like basketball, where Kevin Durant can just be good enough, Steph Curry can just be good enough, LeBron, it changes the math and how you think about these types of things. It's different than baseball. It's different than football. You know, I guess the closest thing I can think of is like hockey, where all of a sudden a team can steal a series because the goalie is just insanely good and will not let any puck past him.
Yeah. But to just reinforce, Brian, what a miraculous, seemingly improbable run this would be for the Lakers. The win against Cleveland featured yet another new starting lineup for the Lakers. I want to say the 34th of the season. It's either 34 or 35. Just reinforcing everything they've gone through. I've got a quiz for you, Brian, a little game.
That's basically, by the way, a different starting lineup in every other game.
Yep. Something like that for what they've played this year. I'm going to give you two different Lakers. Uh-huh. You tell me which guy has started more games this season, plus one other final cap to put on this. So we begin. Dwight Howard or DeAndre Jordan? Who started more games this
season? DeAndre.
You are correct.
Yes.
DeAndre Jordan started 19. Dwight Howard started 18. Anthony Davis or Avery Bradley?
I'm going to say Avery.
It is Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley started 42. Anthony Davis has started 37. Next one. Who has started more games, Anthony Davis or Malik Monk?
Anthony Davis.
Oh, it is. It is actually Anthony Davis. He has started in all 37 games. My God, 37 games.
That's just not enough. He needs to really, that's really not enough. That is the root of this game, is Anthony Davis not being able to play.
By the way, too, that we're going through these many should be an indication, because you should not have these many guys in a starting lineup with more to come.
Nope.
Talen Horton-Tucker or Kent Bazemore? Who has started more games, THT or Bazemore?
I think it's THT, but it's pretty close. And it's probably both under 10.
They're all close. All of these that I'm giving you are close.
I think it's THT.
You are correct. THT, 16 starts versus Kent Bazemore, 14. 14 games for Kent Bazemore.
Do you remember 14 games where Kent Bazemore started? I don't even remember what he looks like, let alone the 14 games. Was that like 4 years ago? When did Kent Bazemore start 14 games?
Well, that's going to, Brian, play a role in the final question of this quiz. Right. But yes, it does feel like so damn long ago.
Good God.
Austin Reaves or Trevor Ariza? Austin Reaves or Trevor Ariza? Who has started more games?
I'll say Trevor.
Oh, your first miss. Austin. It's Austin Reaves. Austin. Reaves, 13 games versus 10 for Trevor. Trevor Ariza.
Those 10 games were not memorable.
Trevor Ariza or Wayne Ellington? Trevor Ariza or Wayne Ellington?
It seems impossible that Wayne Ellington has started more than 10 games. And so I think the answer is Ariza, and therefore I'm going to say Wayne Ellington.
It's both a trick question, but one rooted in reality, because Trevor started 10, Wayne Ellington started 9.
No!
Yes. Okay.
This year for the Lakers?
Yes. I'm not counting
NBA games, not scrimmages.
I'm not counting the other stint with the Lakers.
These aren't scrimmages.
Nope. Wenyen Gabriel or Carmelo Anthony? Wenyen Gabriel or Carmelo Anthony?
Gabriel started twice.
Mm-hmm.
So has Melo started more than two games? I think he has.
Final answer?
Yes.
It is Carmelo Anthony. 3 starts versus 2 for Wenyen Gabriel. Isaiah Thomas or Darren Collison? Who has started more games for the Lakers, Isaiah Thomas or Darren Collison?
How many have you started for this team? Jeez. IT started at least one. I don't think DC started any. I'm going to say Isaiah Thomas.
Right on the nose, Brian. IT had one start, Collison none. Way to go, man. That was really good.
I have had to pay way too close attention to this team here, as evidenced by my answers here. Nobody should know something this granular about a team this unpleasant to watch.
No, they should not, but here we are. All right, I got a final question, but let's do that on the other side when
Sounds
we get back.
Great.
Okay, Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. Okay, you want to be eating smart, and you want to be eating healthy, but you don't want to be like feeling like you can never treat yourself without feeling guilty. And that's where Built Bar is your solution. If you have not tried the puffs, you are missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars, the first ever protein infused marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate with awesome flavors like cinnamony churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. They're all awesome. And unlike a candy bar, which usually is like 200 to 300 very empty calories, most Built Bars, they contain just 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, but 17 grams of protein. And that is the good stuff. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at built.com. Last question in this quiz. First 10 games, how many different starting lineups did the Lakers have? 2, 3, 4, or 5?
4.
That is correct, Brian. They had
four
different starting lineups in the first 10 games. They had Bazemore, AD, LeBron, DeAndre, and Russ. Bazemore, AD, Jordan, Malik Monk, and Russ. Bazemore, Avery Bradley, AD, LeBron, Russ, and Bazemore, Bradley, AD, DeAndre again, and Russ. They were 5-5, Brian, during that period. We never knew in the moment just how good we had it.
That sounds lovely.
It really does. 5.
Salad days.
I got to tell you, in retrospect, we were bitching way too much early in the season.
Oh, my God. Well, I wouldn't do for – I could be so much more interested in a 500 team right now.
Bunch of entitled brats we were.
Yep, that's the truth. All right, so – yeah, 5-5. I mean, we're talking about the 7-8 right now. Everything's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to Malik Monk.
Figueroa, baby.
Dave McMenamin wrote a really interesting story about Malik that touched on all sorts of things. I don't even know if we'll have time to get to all of it today. But the whole journey, cliche as that word may be, that Monk has gone on both in LA and in his pro career, has led to a very interesting spot because he has certainly outplayed the minimum contract that the Lakers signed him to this year. And, you know, he's certainly endeared himself to the Lakers fans, one of the only people to do that this year. And the Lakers would love to have him back. But it gets into all kinds of financial questions. It gets into things about his future. And we learned, Andy, actually, the demand for Malik Monk might not have been as much as we thought. Like, we talked about him making a bet on himself, could have been paid more somewhere else. Not so much. Like, the Lakers took a chance on him, which is one of the reasons Monk seems loyal to LA. So, you know, do you want to talk about the possibility of them bringing him back? Do you want to talk about just sort of, you know, how quick we are to judge young players and write them off? Because there's all kinds of different ways we could go here.
Well, to clarify a little bit what you were talking about with the taking the chance on himself, betting on himself financially, his agent clarified on the record during this piece that he wasn't really getting anything above minimum offers anyway. Like, you know, he might've been able, I think the agent said, like, to get a few more dollars somewhere else, but you were all these offers were basically in the same dollar range. And when Monk originally signed with the Lakers, there had been some reports that he took a discount and really was using this to, you know, reestablish himself, which both of us thought at the time was pretty big risk because we weren't quite sure where he was going to be in the rotation. As it turns out, he maybe was choosing the best setting for himself, but not necessarily a financial one. That said, he does sound like he's been very happy with the Lakers, that he's actually really enjoyed the atmosphere with the Lakers, which, if nothing else, really speaks to how crappy things must have been in Charlotte. Like, what's been going on this year has been happy times for Malik Monk.
Well, it's funny because... yeah, but that gets to the point I was thinking about, like, you know, the salary mechanics and the roster mechanics of whether or not the Lakers can and should bring him back, notwithstanding. One of the things that sticks out here is, you know, he's 24, I believe, and spent either 1 or 2 years, I think 1 year at Kentucky. We make very quick decisions about players who come into professional leagues very young. When a guy is a lottery pick and doesn't perform quickly, we are quick to write them off as busts. We are generally dismissive of the idea of a player becoming a solid role player as the 12th pick, the 10th pick, the 14th pick, the 8th pick. And I think Monk is a great example of how timing, where you end up, the atmosphere you're in, the support system you have, your own maturity. You think about what you were like at 20, 21, 22 years old, and just luck have to do with everything that goes on. Like, you know, the first five, you know, what you can become for the final 6 years or 10 years, whether you have a 2 year career, an 8 year career, or a 15 year career. So much of this is random. And the expectations that we put on very young men to perform very quickly, it's pretty tough. I mean, that is a tough situation.
Yeah. I mean, and Malik's been through a lot of different struggles. You know, he had a big suspension because of violating the drug rules with the NBA. And by his own admission, there was his last season in Charlotte. He felt like he was getting very mixed messaging from his coach. And because of that, his effort was pretty inconsistent, you know, is pretty waning, not where it needed to be. And he said he learned a lesson of like, you can't put 50% into this thing and expect to get 100% out of it.
Yeah, that was a great quote.
Yeah. And, you know, like even to whatever degree, I think he still thinks that the atmosphere in Charlotte was part of the problem. I think he's really seemed to understand, like, so was I. Like, I remember having this conversation a long time ago with Shannon Brown because I wrote a profile of him for ESPN. And, you know, Shannon bounced around a lot for a first-round pick. Or, you know, his career was in a precarious position very early on. And he conceded that there was a lot of immaturity on his part and a lot of negativity that he allowed himself to fall into because of that immaturity. And people forget, when he ended up coming over with the Adam Morrison deal, he was just considered a throw-in. He described himself in one of his exit interviews as a throw-in. Like, nobody expected him to be playing and actually be in the rotation for a championship team. You know, at the time, it was just balancing out salaries.
And, you know, obviously, you know, he became a guy like, but look, I mean, it happens not even just role players. Kyle Lowry was somebody who needed time to develop into, you know, this star and, you know, not just a star, but like a rock of organizations, a model citizen, a guy that people seek out to put into their locker room.
We've talked at length with Kyle about this.
About that. Yeah. And so and I'm not saying the judgment isn't necessary in some ways. And I'm not saying, you know, that it's always unfair and so on. My bigger point here is just that this is an incredibly difficult environment that we put people in. And I used to ask Kobe, asked him a couple times in a couple different ways, like, if the Lakers hadn't drafted you, if a different team at the time, it was New Jersey, which is a relatively good organization at the time and all that, but let's say you were drafted by, you know, a crappy team, crappy organization, do you think you would have won 5 titles? Yes, of course he does. He would, you know, I would have figured it out. But the reality is, an 18-year-old Kobe Bryant heading into a dysfunctional organization with no chance of winning, with bad coaching, with wouldn't have won 5 titles. Anyway, he might have eventually wound his way to somewhere, but he could have had a Carmelo Anthony-like career where it's just scoring, 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 and no winning, and everybody. Context and luck is really important here. And Monk was in a bad place for him at a time where he was very immature. And the Lakers have benefited this year from a guy who is more mature and in a better situation. And I guess, you know, maybe tomorrow, later in the week, we can talk about the mechanics of actually trying to keep him here, because it's complicated in about 1,000 different ways.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, Andy, the season, we don't even need to talk about the season starting again on Wednesday. It's already going, unless they lose, in which case it will start again. What, Friday? Just something start like this that, bad boy up. Mm-hmm. Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Really appreciate all the support that channel's been getting. Thanks again for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day. We will see everybody Thursday.